My job is to somehow make them curious enough or persuade them by hook or crook to get more aware of themselves and where they came from and what they are into and what is already there, and just to bring it out. This is what compels me to compel them, and I will do it by whatever means necessary.
Welcome to the Black Girls Heal podcast, where we talk about healing our intimacy disorders, unresolved trauma, and building a healthy relationship with first ourselves and then others. Every episode, we will talk about advice you can apply today to break unhealthy patterns and grow in your self-worth. I'm Sheena Lachey, love addiction coach and trauma specialist. Let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Black Girls Heal. This is the episode where we talk about grief. This episode has been a long time coming. I have talked about grief in different forms over the many years that this podcast has existed. When I have referenced my mother passing away unexpectedly, grieving friendship breakups, grieving other family members who have passed away, grieving your inner child and your healing process. And even though I've referenced grief, I've not had an episode that focuses specifically on grief and how do you recover when you have lost a person or a relationship unexpectedly. Actually, no, today's episode is going to be about specifically grieving a person. This past week, at the time that you're hearing this podcast, I lost unexpectedly lost a very close family friend. I've talked to several of my clients or my recovery school students and alumni. They have unexpectedly lost parents and loved ones. I've talked to other friends who have either directly been impacted by losing a loved one or a friend who's lost a loved one. And so it's time. It's time for us to talk about it. It's time for me to give you a specific episode that you can come back to, bookmark, reference, share with the people who you think may need it, or if there comes a time that you need this episode as a resource, you can come back to it. So with these things happening so recently, you know, over the years, I've seen and really loved some resources by other professionals who focus on grief. And I've thought about and wanted to interview those people here on the podcast just so you can have that expert advice with people who are consistently working with grief every day. However, due to me wanting to be responsive to what I see is currently going on with a lot of us losing people, I wanted to have an episode that was more timely versus needing to go back and forth with interviewing and finding the time in our schedules and seeing if people are even open, if they want to come on and all that. So if you are, or if you know someone who is a specialist in grief and grief support, and there are gaps in today's episode, which I know there will be, I'm going to give you everything I can in regards to acknowledging the feelings that you may be feeling and then giving you some things to do as you're healing and as you're growing in this, or I shouldn't say growing, going through this is a better way, as you're going through all the emotions of grief. If and where there may be gaps and you think that you are someone who can help with that, or if you know someone who might be someone who can help with that, feel free to send me a line and maybe there'll be a part two sometime in the future. But for now, I thought it was important to insert today's topic for those of us who need it to have this as a guide. So with all that said, that's what we're talking about today. I'm sending love to those who need it. And without further ado, let's go ahead and jump in.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Before we get started, let's take a small break to say thank you to this week's sponsors.
So like I said, today's episode is basically going to be two parts, where the first part is I want to speak to the heartbreak that many of us may be experiencing, or if you're someone listening to this episode, for someone who's going through this, you're watching them experience. So you can take this in just so you can have the language around it. But I'm going to talk about feelings that are currently happening, and then I'm going to give you some things to do to help you with comfort. And let me just be very clear, there is really not anything that's going to take the grief away fully. What happens is that it transforms. It looks different over time. I lost my mother, 12 years ago now? 12 years ago, unexpectedly. And there hasn't been a day that I don't feel sadness, but the level of the sadness, what it sounds like, what it looks like, it shifts, it changes to where there was a point in time that I could not move. I couldn't function. I was frozen. To there being times that I was masking to be able to function. Meanwhile, my insides were just completely tied up. To there have been days and moments that I'm not thinking about my mother and I forget that she's not here. And then there is a day that I do remember and I wish that she was here to be with my son. And then whatever feelings I have about that day vary very greatly. So when I'm talking about these things that I'm going to give you, it is because there is a real big, immense loss that you can't really wrap your hands around. And so what these tools that I'm going to give you or scripts or whatever it may be is to help you get grounded. When it feels like the world is just completely shifted from under you, that the world is completely different and you're having to balance what does this mean for you? What does it mean for your family? If there's any grief or not grief, if there's any blame that you have regarding the circumstances, like things you should have said, things you could have done. If only this moment, you know, that adds a whole other layer to the grief. When you feel as if there was something that if you would have done something differently or something different would have happened, or if there had been some type of intervention that maybe you wouldn't be in this situation, right? All of that is hard. And I understand those feelings as well. And so, yeah. I just want to set the stage for what we're going to be talking about today without oversimplifying what this looks like and feels like. So let's talk about the feeling. So I wrote out real notes. Typically when I do these episodes, I have like maybe two or three talking points and then I just explain it from there because that's easiest. For this, because these are things that I don't really talk about as often, I have 5 things I want to validate that may be things that you're feeling. And then I have 4 or 5 things for you to do as you are working through this and maybe some other things in between. So the first thought or feeling I want to validate, if you have lost someone who is an unexpected loss, and this, by the way, not only includes family members, this includes pets, which are family members for many of us. It includes friendships. It includes people who are mentors. Any and every soul in life that has meant something to you. Even people that you may not have met, but from afar, you admired them. It's totally okay to have grief for that as well. So the first thought or feeling is that this wasn't supposed to happen, right? Like those type of feelings, this wasn't supposed to happen. If it did happen, it wasn't supposed to happen right now. It wasn't supposed to happen in this way. This is what they deserved. It should have, they deserve better. You know, you might feel a lot of anger around that. You might feel really angry with, if there are medical professionals involved or medical professionals who should have been involved but weren't there. If there were people who were supposed to protect them, if there were circumstances where they were calling and asking for help and didn't get that help, whatever it may be, or just the fact that maybe you felt like they were too young or in the wrong place at the wrong time, or there could have been something different, right? Feeling anger and rage and helplessness and grief around all those things is normal. And you don't have to rush to make peace with any of that. You can be as angry and as upset about that for as long as you need to. It is, I'm going to say this just once because I feel like in situations like this, when it comes to grief, even though this is a truth, in moments like this, when you have lost what might have felt like the world to you, the world, the sun, the moon in your life, when it feels as if the ground has been pulled underneath you, what I'm about to say can feel more condescending than helpful. But I'm just going to say it now because I hope that the way I'm going to present it, it actually helps you feel like you have more direction versus talk down to. And it is the understanding that with your feelings, you have to feel them to get through them. The more you try to compartmentalize, box it up, put it on the shelf to deal with later, it's still there. And some of us are masters at doing that. Some of us, that's how we've only gotten through things. And as I have mentioned in these previous episodes, the hundreds of previous episodes, and you may also have heard from, if you have a therapist or someone else, or you might be actually feeling in your body right now, all the emotions and everything that you repress, they stay there. And if you're not feeling them, they start to eat you up from the inside, not only mentally, emotionally, but also physically. They cause stress. They cause sickness. They make it harder for you to deal with things that don't even connect or that you don't think connect to this loss or your past or your grief, right? So whether or not it's things with your career, random friendships, random dating conversations, things with your children, it touches everything because you're at the center of it. So I want to encourage you that whatever feelings that you feel, even if you're someone who prides yourself and aims to be more logical or more balanced, or, you know, I'll feel the feelings or I'll intellectualize my feelings and think about them, make sense about them, journal about them, and then I'll move on, right? Like, you're very big about optimizing your emotion cycle. Maybe let's not feel the need to do that this time. Maybe let's let us feel what we need to feel and have good days and have bad days and have a good day that's mixed in with the bad day at the same time and let it just be confusing, right? So that's the first thing I want to validate. The second emotion or experience that I want to validate is that sometimes grief can feel like a bad dream that you can't wake up from. So I'm a day out from the family friend that we lost here. And I'll actually just own it just for today, because I don't think this gets validated enough. And even me a year ago would not have validated this because I hadn't gone through it and experienced it. But the family friend that we lost was a family pet. And this pet saw the family member that the pet was connected to through suicidal ideations, through grief, through depression. Like, this pet saved this family member's life. And this pet was so loving, so full of life and energy. And her passing was just completely out of the blue. And I'm just going to say that. I'm going to keep going because this is not an episode that I'm going to cry in. But even with me being, I feel like a level removed, I know for me, I'm experiencing, like, what is the world without Bella? You know, what is this world without her here? Like, this can't be real. You know, like, she has to be running around at the foot of the bed. She has to be available. But like I said, I know that there are so many other people who have recently lost parents, loved ones, friends, children. And you're like, you think the world is one way, and then it hits you and it's completely disorienting. And this is a life that you did not choose to live in. And so I want you to know that it's okay to feel that this is so impossible, because your heart and your mind are trying to catch up with reality. And that may take a while. And that while may be longer than the while that you think it is. And even with that, there may be moments that you have peace and then you feel ashamed that you have peace. Because if you actually really love this person, why do I have the right to feel happy right now? Like, come, at least that's how I felt when I lost my mother, like almost making myself feel sad when I was having moments of reprieve from the sadness. And I don't know if it's because I felt like if I wasn't sad, that meant I wasn't going to miss her, that meant I was undervaluing our relationship, that I was just, you know, letting it go too easily. And that meant I was going to forget her down the road. Like, I don't know what it meant, but I just know that that was my experience. And I just want you to know it's okay for you to feel all over the place with this and to not know what you feel and not know why you feel it, because your world is different now. And the way that you operate and think about things and show up in the world may change, and it may change drastically for some of us, and that's okay. The next feeling that I want to validate is losing someone suddenly can leave you with all the what ifs. So the bargaining stage, like, what if I would have called them? What if I had said one more, I love you? What if I would have made them go to that doctor appointment? What if I would have stayed with them that night? What if I would have made them break up with that person? What if they had never moved away. What if, you know, the outcome of whatever, what if the outcome of the election changed? You know, like, not trying to bring the politics thing back in, but like, there are so many different ways that people are grieving right now, you know, because then the healthcare would have been different. You know, like, there's so many different scenarios. So I'm just listing them all out. But this is just, these thoughts are just part of the grief. They aren't really based in any truth because you don't know what would have happened. You don't know if anything would have changed or if this is how, I'm not going to finish that sentence because I feel like that would have made me mad if someone, y'all, there was one time when my mom had first passed away, I had walked into the apartments that I was living in at the time. And I can't remember if I was still in my frozen state or not. I might have been, or I might have just been so shocked by her saying it that I had a delayed response. But either way, we were talking about just doing a check-in, and I said that my mom had passed away. And she said, oh, I'm so sorry. Oh my gosh, well, you know, everything happens for a reason. And as I say that now, I don't know how I didn't jump across the table and smack the crap out. Like, I don't know how that wasn't my reflexive response, because who says that? And if there's anyone listening to this, whoever wants to fix your mouth to say something to the effect of everything happens for a reason, don't. You know, like, there's a greater purpose. Don't. Find another way. Get on your Googles. Get on your ChatGPT. If that is your catchphrase, go and ask AI, what is a different way to say this statement that I want to be supportive? Because she said that because she had no idea what it feels like, what it felt like. And she was just talking out her ass. She was saying something that you say when, you know, you want to get grape soda, but they're out, so you have to get root beer at fucking Jack in the Box. Who says that? Everything happens for a reason. This is not the burnt toast theory. Losing your mother, losing a partner, losing a friend, losing a child, losing a pet, losing a mentor is not a minor inconvenience. And so when people say things or say things that are adjacent to that, for those who don't understand, who haven't been there, it feels cruel. It feels cruel. It feels beyond demeaning. It feels so disrespectful. And it's just best that you don't say anything. It's okay to not say anything, by the way. So again, this episode is not for people who are helping those grieve. This is for those of us who are grieving. So in case anyone has said anything to you that dumb and you felt similar in a similar way, I hope that me saying that out loud was helpful to you, because some people are either willfully dumb or dumb because they just don't know any better. But either way, it's still just as hurtful and it's not okay. So yeah, like I said, I'm not going to finish that statement because it was about to go in that direction. I was about to want to smack my own self. But I will say the truth is we don't know what would have happened with the what ifs. And we will continue to beat ourselves up with something that's not based in reality. That's based in what actually did happen. And so how can I make sense of what did happen? How can I move forward from there? Which leads to the fourth thought, which is, it's okay if you don't know how to move forward. When my mom passed, I've always been the person who had the plan, who was the second mother in the group, in the family, who always had the next step done and accounted for. And so that is the move I moved into. That's why I was able to numb out at first. But once it all came down, you know, not knowing what it looks like, how to cope with everything. I think that's what actually led to, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you have heard me say when it came to the grieving of my mother that I have not touched it. And I haven't touched it intentionally, even though I teach the things that I teach here. You know, for me, I've been very honest that my growth area has been the area of grief and just owning that that's where I had been in previous years. And so maybe that was a part of me not knowing how to move forward. So it's better just to avoid it. It's better just to avoid it. And just, that was my own way of compartmentalizing it. Don't need to think about the future that doesn't include this person if you can't make any changes in it. And so you don't need to, here's what I'll say about that. You don't need to figure out what the next month, year, date looks like. You know, what's my birthday going to look like without them? What are the holidays going to look like without them? What's the special event going to look like without them? What's next Sunday going to look like without them? All you have to worry about and focus on is this moment, like this next moment, this next minute, this breath. I just need to focus on today. I'll worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, I will put in my calendar, a little trick of the trade. I will put into my calendar that I can worry about Christmas. I'll worry about this event tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. I'm giving myself permission to wallow. Put on the calendar to give myself a good hour. But for the rest of the day, I'm just going to focus on today. And give yourself those moments and things, and that will help you learn how to be present. It will also help you learn that balance between validating your emotions and giving yourself space to feel them without being overwhelmed by them. Because as much as I'm telling you to feel your feelings, having prolonged, extended times where you can't function is not good for anyone, including yourself. So there's that. If you've ever listened to an episode of Black Girls Heal and thought, that was powerful, but now what? BGH Members Club is for you. Inside, you'll get ad-free bonus episodes and an archive library of all of our current episodes without ads as well, in-depth worksheets for every topic we cover, and special drop-in lessons to help you actually apply what you're learning. This is your space to reflect, grow, and make real changes in your healing journey. Join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members and take the next step towards becoming your healthiest version of you. So I know this might not be the case everywhere, but here in Houston, it's already starting to get really warm. Those Texas summers start very early for us. And with the type of summers we have here, we cannot have too many layers, and we have to make sure that our clothes are comfortable, breathable, and still help us feel put together. And the Skims Fit Everybody collection has been the perfect set of undergarments to have under my preliminary sundresses, short sets, and outfits that I've been rocking as we've been going to outdoor picnics, parks, brunches, and everywhere in between. They keep me so comfy and cool underneath my favorite outfits seamlessly. I have multiple shades of my favorite pieces, so it's so great to be able to switch them out depending on the cut, depending on the mood and the need. And they are always super lightweight, which makes it the perfect choice no matter where I'm going. The Fizz Everybody collection is available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X, and you can shop now at skims.com and Skims stores. After you place your order, make sure you let them know that I sent you. Select podcast in the survey and be sure to select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. Have you ever had one of those days where everything just feels harder than usual and you can't quite figure out why? I've definitely had my fair share, and I totally get how frustrating it can be. And recently, I learned that sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It's actually more hormones that are at play. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy, and you just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And after taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me a personalized insight into what might be happening with my hormones so that I can start to do better. And the quiz suggested that I have symptoms that may align with having high estrogen, which is one of many hormones that Hormone Harmony can help to regulate. Hormone Harmony's herbal formula doesn't just help with estrogen, though. It assists with testosterone, and it also helps with stress hormones such as cortisol, which we all know can wreak havoc on the nervous system and everything it's connected to. Though big changes often help, smaller habits like taking supplements, like Hormone Harmony, can offer a huge impact as well. Taking care of your hormones is about investing in your long-term health. If you don't know where to start, take their free hormone quiz and you'll learn more about your hormone balance and how you can make small, intentional changes to support your body. But whether it's with Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, this quiz helps to guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. If you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take the free 2-minute hormone quiz today. And for a limited time, you'll also get 50% off your entire first order with my code BGH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code BGH for 15% off today.
And then the last thing that I will share
is not really a validation of a thought or a feeling that you may be feeling right now, but maybe just, and maybe I'm transitioning into the advice, but just you don't have to carry this alone. So even yesterday, I was talking to another loved one about the losses that I felt yesterday, because yesterday was a very hard day. I lost this person. I lost this family member. I got in fights with people. Like it was lit. It was emotionally lit yesterday. So there was a lot going on, and I wanted to not tell the person I was talking with about what was going on, because my thoughts at the time were like, one, I don't even want to talk about this. Like I've felt enough today. Talking about this is not going to help me feel better. I just want to feel this on my own. Like, you know that I'm sad. Stop trying to talk to me. Stop trying to ask me how I'm doing. That's a dumbass question. You know, like I don't want any of this, you know? So it's like, it's not going to help for me to talk about it. Even if I did talk about it, I don't, and it would help. I don't even know if I want to do that, because I feel like it's going to make me feel lower. It's going to make me feel more upset. It's going to make me feel even sadder. And I'm just barely hanging on. I've gone through enough of this emotional war today. I just need a break, you know? So talking about it's just going to make me feel worse, in addition to not helping anything. The second one is if you say something, because you're asking me all these questions to try to be supportive, and I know you're here trying to be supportive, but if you say something that is not in line with what I want to hear, I might lose my shit on you. And I don't want to lose my shit on you. You're trying to talk to me in love. So you're trying to talk to me in love. And so the third reason was, I am not talking about this to protect you, because I do not have it in me to mask or to filter what I'm feeling right now. So it's best for me to keep it mute and keep it cute. And because I've grown, I ended up not doing that. I was able to be aware of my internal dialogue and the reasons why. And even though I had three very good reasons why I didn't want to, and maybe some other ones that if I sat here and thought about it, I could share. But these were the top three, top of mind. I was like, okay, you're trying to grow. You are working on being love available, not love avoidant. These are the type of relationships you prayed for, to have people who were here and who could hold space for you. We're optimistic and loving and all the things. Yuck, you got it now. You have the love that you prayed for. Let's use it, even though this feels like your skin is crawling. So literally, I took a deep breath. And I might even mumbled, yuck, ugh. And then I just started talking. And it did help, y'all. It felt like shit when I first started. And I was like, I'm only going to tell certain parts. I'm not going to tell the whole thing. It led into a whole of me talking about more feelings and more emotions that I haven't felt. And I think because I did that, I was able to save the evening and save the night. I think if I didn't talk about it, because there was something else that had happened the last time I hung out with this person. Well, not the last time I hung out with this person. It was my partner, I'll just say. It was my partner. One of the last times I hung out with my partner, it was like after therapy, the session was super triggering. And I was like in fight, fright, or freeze mode, primarily the freeze mode, for like hours afterwards, until I got some food in my system, some time had passed, and then we had a little bit of a good night afterwards. I was like, okay, I think me actually sharing what I was feeling instead of trying to keep it to myself really helped. And so this encouragement about you're not meant to carry this alone, I hope me saying out loud the reasons why I didn't want to share, that if it resonates with you, that you can feel some, like feel seen in that, or if it sparks what might be coming up for you about the reasons why you don't want to talk about the grief. But I also wanted to give you this example to let you know that even though everything in you is saying that it will not help to talk about this, if you are with someone who can listen, who can hold space, who isn't trying to fix everything, who isn't trying to like give you like, well, have you considered this, or saying all these platitudes that are the wrong thing. Like if you're with safe people, then share it. You don't need to wrap it up in a pretty bow. You don't need to say it the right way. You don't need to worry about whether or not your feelings are too big or too burdensome, because the people who are asking you because they want to hold you. They want to hold that for you. They want to be available for you in that way. And so you withholding it, you're actually not helping them. You're hurting the moment as well. And that's not to put any more pressure on you, because you don't need to worry about anyone but yourself right now. But I just want you to know that if you're doing this to partly preserve or protect the other person, that's not what they're asking you for. They're like, hey, I see you're carrying a whole crap load of bags on your arms right now. I'm not carrying really anything. Let me help you out with this. And you're like, no, I got it. It's better for me to hold these anyways. And no, they want to help you carry it. Okay. They might not be able to carry it all, but they can carry some of those. So it's okay to unload that in these scenarios. Okay. All right. So for the second part, as promised, let's talk about, here are some things for you to do as you are grieving to help you get a little bit more grounded. You may want to do all of these, none of these, one of these, but here are just some things to get you into action outside of feeling just frozen in your bed, crying, trying to numb out and distract yourself. If you are going to distract yourself, these are some good things to distract yourself with that will actually get some movement in your emotions and get some movement in your processing so that you're not feeling stuck in this place for longer than is maybe necessary for your progress. Or for your process, whatever your grieving process needs to look like. So the first one is grounding yourself in the present moment, which we're going to use the 5-4-3-2-1 method. So if you've never heard this before, let me just explain a little bit about grounding. I keep hitting the mic stand. So if there's like reverberation and like clinking that you hear, my apologies. Hopefully my podcast editor, Jill, can get it out. Shout out to you, Jill. I appreciate you so, 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 so much. Thank you for all that you do. So when we are getting grounded in our body, that is because when we are feeling overwhelming emotions or triggers or traumas, we can stay in that fight, flight, or freeze mode and feel numb and not really be able to feel safe. Even if we're doing all the things that technically are supposed to make us feel safe, We're still constantly looking for the next trigger, the next trauma, but we can't ever actually feel calm. So when we talk about somatic experiencing and body work, it's about regulating our nervous system, which means that wherever you are, whatever moment you're in, you're able to feel planted on the ground. You're able to feel some safety and security within yourself. You're able to self-soothe and feel comfort. That is the most simplest way for me to describe it. And I'm sure some somatic professionals would use much better language in describing it, but that's just what I'm going to say for today's episode. So when the world is burning down around you, we're going to use this next tool to help you find your breath and find peace in the middle of the chaos. So the way the 5-4-3-2-1 method works is that wherever you are, whatever's going on, you may take a breath and look around and name 5 things that you see, 4 things that you feel, 3 things that you hear, 2 things that you smell, and 1 thing that you taste. So for example, in my office where I am right now recording, I see my degrees on the wall in gold rectangular frames. I see my walking pad. I see my light switch that is in the down position. I see my COVID immunization shot record that is on my monitor screen. I see an Alani, a purple Alani can, right? And then 4 things that I feel. So I feel my shirt on my skin. I feel the roughness of my office chair underneath my left heel because I'm sitting with one leg up, and I have a new cover that's a little bit rough and textured. So I feel that. I feel the carpet underneath my toes on my right foot. I feel my hair brushing my ear as I talk. And I think that's 4. That might have been 5, but I think that's 4. 3 things I hear. I hear the birds chirping outside. I hear what might be the AC unit outside my home humming, or maybe something else that's downstairs, but I hear some type of mechanical humming, and I hear an airplane going overhead. Two things I smell. I smell the foam of my microphone, and I smell maybe the typing paper in front of me. And then one thing I taste the after taste of this Alani, which is slightly sweet and tastes purple. If purple can have a taste, that's what it tastes like. So what this tool does is it helps bring you out of the emotional overwhelm and here in the present moment. So even though I already was feeling this episode, already recording this episode and feeling grounded, I feel like I'm more grounded now. You know, maybe I was grounded at maybe a 3, and now I feel, or maybe on the level of anxiety from 1 to 10, maybe I was like a 3, a low 3, and now I feel like I'm at a 2, maybe. Okay, so there's that. The next tool is a daily grief check-in. So this is where you can, just like I was saying, pencil in your schedule to set aside time to feel whatever you need to feel. Put it on your calendar, make an alarm on your phone where you set aside 5 minutes daily to just sit with your grief. And so what am I feeling? You can write them down. You can say them out loud. If you're an audio journaler, you can record a voice note on your phone or get one of the apps that allows you to journal in different ways outside of just writing things down on notebook paper. Make a video diary entry. But this helps you prevent having these emotions suppressed and to make space for healing. Again, the way out is through, and it's better to have these emotions go out than to stay inside of you. The third method that I'm going to share with you to to work with your grief is to move your body. So I'm going to kind of give you, well, let me name the things. I'm going to give you an example. So you can dance. You can just shake your arms and legs. You can stretch. You can do some yoga moves, but just basically move your body so you're not staying frozen, staying in your head, and all that stuff. So even if you're not directly thinking about the loss of your loved one or, you know, even work stress or everything else, just you moving your body will release things that you didn't even know that you were holding. So that's why just in general, people talking about moving and exercising is good for us. There's that. But then especially for this, shaking it out, moving it out, changing the body chemistry that your body is feeling is huge. So I don't think that would be a helpful example. I was going to share something that I learned in my training for body work and somatic experiencing, but I think just sharing those examples and reasons is enough. So I don't want to make this episode too much longer, just looking at the time, because I do want this to be one of the ones that y'all bookmark and can come back to later on and easily share with other people. Tip number 4 is asking yourself, we're looking at getting present in the moment, right? So just take a breath and ask yourself, what is it that I need right now? In this moment, what is it that I need? When I'm feeling overwhelmed and everything else and I don't know what to say and I'm stressed and I'm blocked or I'm numb or I'm angry or I am, you know, just whatever it may be. Right now, what is it that I need? If I could have anything, what is it that I want? Some of us have never asked ourselves that question. Some of us don't have people who listen to us. Some of us have been so trained to focus on what other people need that this is like a foreign language to you, so you don't know what you need. So that might be a little bit more frustrating, but that's okay. I think you starting to ask yourself that question, what is it that I need right now, is how you start to build it as a skill. Because the more you put that on your radar, the more you can start to realize, wait, what about me in this equation? What about me in this moment? What are the things that I actually want? And it makes you, if you're someone who's so used to self-abandoning and putting yourself last, it puts you on the playing field for yourself. You become, over time, your most valuable player. And you can give vocabulary around, maybe right now I just need to rest. Right now I just need to cry. I just need to be outside. I need to color. I need a sweet treat. I need some vegetables. I need to go and do nothing right now. I need to go and just drive for a few hours. I need to go to a pottery class. I need to, you know, go and stretch. I need to go to a puppy shop or a pet store and hold the puppies, you know. And following those urges in the moment is so beautiful. and it helps build self-trust. And again, it helps you prevent from your emotions getting stuck. And then the last tool I'll give for today is writing a letter. Writing a letter to the person who's gone, writing a letter to yourself, to your higher self, to your inner child, writing a letter to grief and telling grief what you feel and what's going on with you. But again, externalizing those emotions, getting them out of you, getting them out of your head so you don't feel as overwhelmed, right? You know, this wasn't on my list, but again, I just think raging. I think when I talk about the no contact process with people, one of the things that I'm always referring back to is you need to have person or persons, people that you call whenever you're thinking about the person or you're triggered and you want to reach out and, you know, to break up that emotional charge so that it stops this correlation, this coupling that you have in your head, that the only way I can get relief from not talking to my trauma-bonded person is to talk to my trauma-bonded person. When actually, once you start to build those connections with when you feel triggered, you actually start to connect to other people, then the answer is no longer that person. The answer is connection. And now you have a whole lot of other people that you get to connect to, right? So it's the same thing with this. Like for you, if when I feel the grief and when I'm thinking about this, I get angry, I get sad, I get overwhelmed, instead of me sitting with it, and the answer to my grief is just to ruminate, to feel lost, to drown in this feeling, or to distract myself, connecting with other people, especially like if we're talking about loss, which is a loss of connection, loss of love, when I feel disconnected, then the answer is to find where my connection is so I can start to feel grounded. So when you start to feel angry, rage, calling people, reaching out, venting, if you have those safe people that you can do that with. Okay, so that is it for today's episode. I do hope that you found it helpful. The worksheet for today's episode will be in the BGH Members Club. BGH Members Club is back, and now it has a library with hundreds of worksheets for each of our podcast episodes for those who have liked to take notes, who also would like journaling prompts and like a challenge, a homework assignment for each of the episodes. You can find that within the BGH Members Club to download and to have access to. And for this one, for this episode, I think I'm also going to record a tapping script. So many of you know that I'm a fan of EFT or emotional freedom technique for tapping. It's one of the main tools that I teach for emotion regulation in a lot of my coaching programs. And so I think I'm going to record a tapping meditation audio that you can work through as well as you're going through this grief and this overwhelm to help you bring down those emotions, feel grounded, feel safe. And that also will be in the Members Club. So you can get access to that by going to blackgirlsheal.org/members and jumping into the library of all those resources for you related to the things we talk about here on the podcast. So that is it for now. I'm sending you all so much love and comfort as you go through this stage. And the people who have blessed our lives, they have given us such a great gift by being with us. And we also gave them a really great gift by being in their life as well. Even if there are things that may have been unresolved between you two, having known each other, hopefully you're better. And if the circumstances of your relationship was rocky, I hope that the lessons that you have learned from that relationship or the lessons that you're learning from the pain that may have happened in that relationship, I pray that it is transformed and transmuted into, for as much pain as it caused, that that same energy is now that much love that you have, that the meaning that you make from it is one that's only going to make you bigger, brighter, more healed, and more connected to people and relationships that are going to give you what it is that you need. Again, that's what I have for us today, and I'm sending you all so much love, and I will see you in the next one. As always, take care of yourselves. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Black Girls Heal. If this episode helped you in any way, please be sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and share it with someone you love. And if you're ready to go deeper and turn what you're learning about here into real life change, join us inside the BGH Members Club. You'll get ad-free bonus episodes, powerful worksheets about every topic we discuss here, and exclusive lessons to help you apply the healing tools we talk about. You can join today at blackgirlsheal.org/members. And as always, take care of yourselves, and we'll see you next week.